The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart. I really, really do appreciate it. This one is a very busy one. Producer Joe is here today. All right, Joe?
I'm very well, mate. It's awfully busy. I think it's one of the busiest in some weeks.
Lots to speak of. Mr. Alex James, Blur legend, bass player, cheese impresario, I think we've decided to call him, festival runner, and all-round entertaining bon vivant.
If we ever lost our office calendar at Radio X, at least we'd always know when it was August because Alex James would turn up saying that he's got some tickets to flog.
That's exactly what he does. So enjoy a bit of Alex James on the podcast. You will also be hearing from Joe Thomas, comedy actor. You'll know him from The Inbetweeners. He's in a new movie called The Festival. Check it out. It looks very entertaining indeed. And on top of that, The Coral. You can hear some chat from them, back with a brand new album, Move Through the Dawn, and full rock and roll Merseyside magic when they come in the studio with sunglasses on.
Favourite moment of that for me, spoiler alert if you don't want to hear it, is the moment at which there's that classic Merseyside unwillingness to take a compliment as you, I think you say something like, that track sits so well in the Coral canon. And he goes, cheers.
Yeah, I was really thinking, how can I do this without being sycophantic? I thought, God, that would be quite a genuine way to tell a band I really like them.
Yeah.
Cheers.
There you go.
Well, great. Thanks very much. And if you want to leave an overly enthusiastic review just like that, I would be very grateful if you do that after you listen. Please enjoy the Evening Show podcast.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show on Radio X. I'm absolutely thrilled to say that a band I haven't had the chance to interview or speak to in the past have joined us in the studio 22 years after they started. So the first time they released or started writing music, England were talking about bringing football home. And as they bring out their ninth album, England were talking about bringing it home, and it didn't come home. Sorry about that, lads.
It never does.
Listen, the new album Move Through the Dawn is absolutely outstanding, right? I think it's one of the best things you've ever done, so congratulations to start off.
Nice one, cheers.
But it's not just us talking about it. I saw a hip surgeon talking today about how he's been playing your album as he saws through people's limbs, and it's really been helping him out. It must be quite an unusual thing for you to articulate when you realise that your music's being played in pretty heavy surgery.
Buy your ninth album, you'll take anything. Anything that comes your way.
Yeah. I've always wanted to ask you that, actually. You know, has there been a moment when you've kind of been in the background and you've seen something happen when your music's being played and nobody was aware you were there?
Samantha Fox doing Tai Chi on the beach. we first ever got played on telly, yeah.
You're kidding.
Samantha Fox was doing like Tai Chi warm-ups on the beach to Shadows Fall.
Well, move through. How do you feel about the album now that it's coming out and you get a chance to play it and you're unveiling it to people? How has that emotion changed over the two decades or so that you've been together, Nick?
Well, you know what you're kind of doing now when you promote a record properly, which you never really followed through.
You want to get bored
and start writing another album.
Yeah.
So you've got to kind of stop yourself really and just concentrate on what you're doing. Otherwise, it won't reach its full potential. You just move on to other things so quickly. Yeah. But you've got to sort of, just want as many people to hear it as possible. So,
in comparison to other albums, has it been an easier labour or more difficult?
It's easier when you haven't done it for a while and it feels fresh, I think.
Mm. I mean, you're all pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
Music was always easy, but if the band isn't pulling in the same direction and you've got five or six people, it's difficult. But if everyone's just pulling in the same direction, it's so easy.
The first two songs that you've released have been absolutely outstanding. Sweet Release, what an amazing groove. And I always suspected when I heard it, is that something you've had hanging around for a while and you just needed to finish the song around? Because it just feels like it's a classic Coral riff.
No, it was quite recent, though.
Was it?
Yeah, I was trying to be like sort of like a T-Rex thing crossed with like surf music or something.
Yeah. We've been playing a lot of Eyes Like Pearls recently, and it's just a really upbeat, it just makes you smile, that track. And I think you've been downstairs recording it as a session track for us. It's a question I've always liked to ask the Coral, actually, is how long does it take from the moment you rehearse something to when you're comfortable playing it publicly?
Play it for about a week, and then you don't get it good really till you do a tour and then a tune sounds good.
Right, we're going to play that for you right now on Radio X. It's a session track recorded right here at Radio X by The Coral. It's the latest single as well, and it's absolutely brilliant. This is Eyes Like Pearls right here at Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Eyes Like Pearls, recorded right here on Radio X by The Coral in our session studio. Thanks very much for that, James, and Nick are here in the studio right now. Class, lads, loving it. Brilliant stuff. Sure. Sits right there at the very top, I think, of the Coral canon. You're not very good at taking compliments. It's very Merseyside of you, boys. But anyway, I was going to say, like, there's something special happening in the northwest of England, I think, at the moment. You know, I've got to say thanks again to you for introducing me to Blossoms. 2013, this feeling, our mate Mikey at the Macbeth pub. Came along, absolutely amazing.
You DJed that night.
Yeah, yeah. I remember thinking, this band, they only did four songs. Sundowners as well, you're related to. But the fantastic night, absolutely brilliant. And Blossoms have gone and done brilliantly since then. But you've had a big hand, I think, in their career as well. What was it like, James, getting involved in producing them?
Someone sent me, it was actually Alan Wills sent me, said, these would be good on Skeleton Key. And it was really early, they'd just done a demo on, I think, a little digital 8-track or something. I think it was Blow. And I just went and met them, and then was like, let's try and record something. And I think they were tied in with a few people, but once we started recording, it just went from there then. Yeah. And then the management got involved, and
It's worked out pretty well.
It was easy, really.
Yeah, they said that you gave them some great advice that every time they write a record, they have to invest in a really expensive, good bit of new kit
that I can use and borrow off.
I was going to say, like, has that come from experience? Have you bankrupted the Coral? All the money's been spent on new kit?
No, we just use Blossoms gear.
Is that something you've done yourselves, though? You know, do you always make sure that you stick a bit of kit in to sort of inspire the songwriting?
Yeah, if you're stuck for ideas, sometimes all you need is like a new synth or something.
Yeah.
It just kicks it off, because it just changes everything then sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or limit yourself.
Yeah.
You take stuff away.
Right, yeah.
Adding stuff has never ever worked.
Right,
I think
yeah.
When we take stuff away, it's always better for us.
Nick, you've been writing a book as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's your third, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How was the third book then? Writer's block, or did you get it straight out?
Yeah, it's just a truthful account, really. So it wasn't sort of, I didn't have to imagine that much. It was all.
Had you documented it? Had you kept a good note of what had happened?
Yeah, I was doing it sort of every night when I got back to my hotel.
Yeah.
So I started doing it before the record company said that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
So I'd been doing it for 6 months, and then I had six more months to do, so I thought I'll just document a year.
What's it like when you hand that manuscript over to the rest of the boys in the band?
The others haven't read it yet.
I was going to ask for your review of it.
I've read it, yeah.
He's read it. I edited it.
Me and Nick edited it. We're secretly recording us, yeah.
Yeah, it's got like conversations, but there's like playlists in it.
Right.
And like the movies you watch in the tour bus, the things you say to sort of get you from A to B. You know, if you're like on a motorway between like Ghent and Amsterdam at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I've never seen like a music book come take that angle of it, if you know what I mean. It's usually like the sort of obvious way, but that's why I really like it.
Probably good you've got a band historian really doing it from the inside, because otherwise I'd imagine quite a lot of those memories would be lost.
Ian
said he's never going to read it, so.
Right, yeah, more from the boys in just a second. James Skelly and Nick Power in just a second on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart, this is the Evening Show on Radio X, and in the studio with me tonight, I'm thrilled to say we have the star of them between us, Fresh Meat, White Gold and Scottish Muscle, let's not forget that.
Let's not forget that.
A great comedy actor, a writer and a former maths tutor. Mr. Joe Thomas, welcome to the Evening Show.
Hello, how's it going?
I don't forget anything, I've just realised.
What do you need to know about maths? I can go up to GCSE.
Was that your peak maths tutorial?
Yeah, that's my peak, yeah. I was blindingly good at that.
Joe, it's worked out all right, hasn't it? But how much did you charge to be a maths tutor, just out of interest?
It was £22 an hour.
That's disgusting. How dare you?
Yeah.
It's so lovely to see you, right? It seems that everywhere I go, there's a reminder of the last 10 years with you, Joe. Right?
Absolutely. I'm haunting you on the tube.
I was on the tube the other day. Yeah. There you were, massive, covered in mud.
Absolutely.
I was in Mallorca last week, and every time I go to Mallorca, I just think of Joe Thomas. Because
of course.
We went to Magaluf together in March in the off-season.
We did. Magaluf in the off-season is something else.
It's a really
amazing,
depressing experience, Joe. Thanks for asking me along to that.
Wasn't it nice? Yeah. Yeah, it's like walking around a sort of shut-up fairground. Yeah. I think it's weird.
I should explain. We went out to film the In Between Us movie there, the first one.
Yeah.
And I got the chance to be your body double, jumping off a boat from 10 metres, which you trained for months, and I hadn't.
No.
And I really regretted it as soon as I said I'd do it.
Yeah, yeah. And also, why you were wearing a bra?
I was.
Yeah, I don't know why. It wasn't that. No one else was in drag. I don't know that. Why that?
That was classic Ian Morris, the director.
That was Ian Morris. Yeah,
he was definitely behind that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Before we get into the new film, I should ask you. I'm sure everybody does. How are the lads? You still speaking to Simon, Bird, Blake?
Yeah, I do.
And, Chase, and James?
Yeah, I do. We had a meal quite recently, after which James Buckley tweeted in a way that didn't make it obvious that it was a joke whatsoever, that we were doing a fourth series. And I was like, oh, you're doing a fourth series? And James was like, no. We're like, well, how is anyone meant to know that? Because you didn't say it was a joke. So, yeah, they're good, just the same. James still basically just undermining the whole situation, just causing, like, genuinely quite a lot of hassle. Like, yeah. That just has to be managed, but he doesn't have to manage himself. So, yeah.
All I remember is that all he would eat is chips and tomato ketchup.
His diet was awful. I was just like, eat some vitamins, man. Have something. You're going to die. You're honestly going to die.
Now, Joe, you're here for a good reason.
Yes.
To shamelessly sell your new movie, which I'm going to help shamelessly plug as well.
It's called The Festival.
Your character is Nick, and it's directed by your longtime collaborator, Ian Morris.
It is, my tormentor and best friend.
What have you got on him? What have you got on him, Joe?
I would love to answer that question, but, I mean, I don't know. Ian just is... I don't know, it's like he's just kind of become a major part of my life, like in a way that I didn't ever foresee.
The premise is pretty simple, isn't it? It's you making a fool of yourself at a festival. Really,
it's a comedy set at a music festival. Great idea for a comedy, I think. And I liked the script straight away. Joe Parham and Keith Cushy, who wrote it, I thought they really, really nailed it. It's a very, very good idea. It's one of those ideas where you're like, yeah, obviously, why has no one done that? And yeah, it's basically about a guy who breaks up with his girlfriend, goes to a music festival to try and get over it, and initially he's kind of not really into it, but then he gets into it and he commits himself to it, and that's kind of what the film's about, really. Yeah. I think it's kind of about letting go and relaxing.
There's a great cast as well.
Brilliant cast.
Jermaine from the Flight of the Conchords, Noel Fielding's in there, Nick Frost.
Yeah, absolutely. Claudia O'Doherty, like really, really, really strong cast. And
I remember somebody else. Come on, Joe.
Who else is in it? Oh, God.
Your missus.
Oh, that's... I knew... that's who that was.
Hannah Toynton, your lovely wife to
that
be.
That is my wife to be, yes. Yeah.
That means it makes it sound like there's still time to change your mind.
Yeah, well, for her. Yeah.
We will have more from Joe Thomas in just a second on The Evening Show.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is The Evening Show here on Radio X. Joe Thomas, the star of the festival, is with me this evening. Joe, you have been duped into doing something yet again by Ian Morris.
Yeah.
And this time, he very nearly got you to pierce your nipple.
He genuinely
did.
But
he didn't do it.
I didn't do it, but it was just one of those things where it's like, he's just like a mate who goads you on. You're like, do it, everyone will love you, everyone will love you. And I'm like, everyone will love me? Well, I want that's something I want. We got quite far down the line. I'd been to the studio, I'd met the lady who was going to do it, and I think it was basically, we pulled out of it because it was not possible to put in a big enough ring to really sell it as a comedic piercing.
Right.
You have a kind of starter ring when you first get your nipple pierced. But,
a little stud.
Yeah, but I think part of me was genuinely like, maybe this is just what I need as Joe Thomas.
Right,
maybe
yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. Like...
It's a movie about a festival, so it's not long before you get into talk of toilets. You have a brilliant line in this movie about poo.
Yeah.
Could you share it with me?
I just want to go home, have a proper shower and a poo.
That should be on every festival poster in the
world.
It
really should, because that's, you know, that's what you ain't getting when you're there.
Now, talking about toilets, I wonder if you indulge me for a second, Joe, because I'm writing this book called Slash Gordon, based on a terrible pun, and it's all about awkward encounters in bathrooms with famous people, because I've had quite a few over the years because of my job. And over the last 10 years or so, I've been asking famous people, actors, musicians, all the rest of it, about their awkward encounters in bathrooms.
Yeah.
And we've built up, we've got about 250, 300 of these really awkward stories. Now, have you found yourself in a bathroom with somebody famous?
I think, to be honest, it's more... The thing I've mainly had is just people who want to do, like, selfies in bathrooms,
which is
always like, oh, not here, man. Like, not with that full urinal behind us. Can we take it outside? Like, so I think it's more been that. To be honest, like, one of the things I've realised the previous week, sort of needing to invite people to the premiere, is, like, I just don't know any famous people. So I wish it had happened, because then I could have invited somebody to the premiere.
Yeah. the Toyntons. You've got Cara Toynton. You could invite.
I could invite Cara Toynton. Does she? I guess she. Does she count? I guess it's best I've got at the moment.
Have you invited the other three? Come on. What about those?
Of course they're invited. Yeah, absolutely.
Are they coming?
By the way, / I have forgotten to invite them.
There's a little reminder for you, Joe.
Actually, I do appreciate that. Thank you.
And you're okay to stick around a little bit longer.
Absolutely, yeah. Right.
More from Joe Thomas in just a second, talking about the festival.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So I do this every Monday night, and we have covered a lot of ground in the last 20 months, I think it's going to be. Lots of stuff from recently and lots of stuff going all the way back. But tonight we're going for a proper classic album in the true sense of that word classic. Mr. Jimi Hendrix and his experience, Are You Experienced?, which was released on the 12th of May 1967. It's more than 50 years old. Can you believe that? Now, before we get started, just to clear us up for any of the pedants listening, the music industry's changed an awful lot. Two tunes that I'm going to play tonight featured only on the North American release of the album. So I'll just cover that before we get into it, because people know their tunes when they're listening to Radio X on a Monday night. Now, the US album wasn't distributed until August 1967. Can you think why? Of course, it was after the famous Monterey Pop Festival, where Hendrix set his guitar alight and smashed it to smithereens. That show created a massive amount of press and awareness around the band, and it was decided that Purple Haze, Hey Joe, and The Wind Cries Mary, what a tune by the way, would all be included. Purple Haze and Hey Joe were only released as singles in the UK, but the album was reissued in 1997, and it had the tracks that had originally been missing from the UK release. So really, it's on a technicality we're able to play those tracks for you tonight. I'm going to get into it in just a second. Doesn't matter though, because they're class. It was the debut solo studio album, say solo, three of them in the Jimi Hendrix experience, recorded at three different studios in London. The other members, Mitch Mitchell drums and Noel Redding on bass. Now, when recording sessions started for the album, something quite funny happened. Chaz Chandler, who was managing the band, had an argument with Jimi Hendrix because he was playing his guitar too loud. Now, how do you have that conversation? It's not an easy one. So, anybody who knows their guitars will know the story behind Jimi Hendrix. He favoured a twin-stack Marshall amp, which Chandler asked him to turn down because it was hurting his ears and it was damaging the studio, apparently. Now, Hendrix said if he couldn't play it loud, he was on his way back to New York. But Chaz Chandler called his bluff, laid down his passport and all of his immigration papers. And you know what happened? Jimi Hendrix laughed, said, yep, you called my bluff, I'll stay, finish the album. And that is what happened. Now, critically speaking, it's fairly universally agreed that Are You Experienced is an absolute masterpiece and unprecedented as a debut from a new band. 33 weeks in the UK album chart, peaking at number two. Now, why didn't it get to number one? Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. You can almost accept going to number two when that's sitting at the top of the charts. Nothing to be ashamed of there for Jimmy. Now, it reached gold status in the UK and went five times platinum. Not bad at all, that, in America. Five times platinum. So here we go. Classic album chat on a Monday night. Two songs from that classic album. Purple Haze and Hey Joe. Enjoy.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
The Jimi Hendrix Experience, Are You Experienced? Over 50 years old now, the 12th of May 1967, that all came out. How good was that listening back to Purple Haze? And you can hear Foxy Lady in the background. Came to my attention in Wayne's World. God, that's a while ago now, isn't it? Anyway, Purple Haze, you heard. Despite Purple Haze, Hey Joe and The Wind Cries Mary being omitted from the original UK release, all of them were top 10 hits in the UK. Purple Haze got to number 3 in 2000. It was popped into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Quite right, too. How good's Foxy Lady is? Class. You also heard Hey Joe, which was written by Billy Roberts in 1962. There are loads of versions, well worth digging them out. Aside from the Hendrix version, you've got Deep Purple, Wilson Pickett, Cher, Patti Smith, they've all had a bash at it too. It was the final song that Jimi Hendrix played at the 1969 Woodstock and the final song of the whole festival after the 80,000 strong crowd demanded an encore. Not a bad encore song, is it? Class. There you have it. Jimi Hendrix Experience, Are You Experienced? That was tonight's classic album.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
James Kelly and Nick Power here from the corner. All right, lads. All right, good stuff. Now, boys, you have music that is nailed on, guaranteed to appear in any indie disco, right? It's going to be in there, guaranteed. But if you're DJing, right, at the festival coming up that you're putting on, what is your opener and what's your finisher? What track are you giving us?
I always open with a... Pat Morrison, Baby Please Don't Go. Every time.
Phenomenal track.
Yeah.
It did depend on the mood.
Lola. Lola. Yeah, Lola Bamba. Yeah. Lola's always a good
Lola's good,
kicks,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone knows the words.
Yeah.
You've got to sing along.
It's got to like peak and trough when you're DJing. So, yeah. You know, we start and end with the 60s.
Yeah, finish with La Bamba, yeah. That start with La Bamba, finish with La Bamba.
Put La Bamba in the middle,
yeah,
is that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really want to play La Bamba now.
Yeah, yeah,
but
you should.
I can't really. Maybe we should squeeze
PM,
a little bit. Another song you did record for us in the Radio X Session Studios, Reaching Out for a Friend, which I think is the third track on the album, isn't it?
Second track? Yeah.
Yeah, second, but the first three are the first three tracks. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that song, James. How did that one come about?
I was thinking about melody. We just need a song with a melody that's like, sounds like you'd write it when you're a kid in a way.
Yeah.
And I just woke up one morning, that song came out. I'd just been thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of was playing it, and then just built and built, and then we ended up referencing Phil Spector and the Ramones.
Yeah.
We recorded it in the Travelling Wilburys and
ELO as well.
Yeah,
that.
We just thought, yeah, it was just an enjoyable song to do and play. We didn't really overthink it.
Brilliant stuff. There's a cracking bit of nostalgia about this album as well. You know, I heard you talking about Button Moon and Short Circuit. Yeah. You know, the movies that mean a lot to lads our age, I think. And it's, I mean, is that just
tragic?
There does seem to be quite a big 80s influence, though. If you speak to, like, even Blossoms, you know, they'll acknowledge the fact, even though they were only probably a glimmer in their parents' eyes at that point, you know, the 80s has been a big influence on them. Is that something that was sort of part of your childhood played a part?
Massive with us. Like, you think of all the films, the Goonies.
Yeah.
The Babes.
Yeah.
That's just in our, in us, that. And, you know, we were referencing a lot of, like, you know, Tom Petty and even Roy Orbison in the 80s and Del Shannon on the album.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, I'm going to play the song that's inspired by all of that right now, recorded today at Radio X. This is Reaching Out for a Friend from the brilliant new album Move Through the Dawn.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Reaching Out for a Friend, that is the choral, recorded right here at Radio X. Cracking track as well, boys. James Skelly, Nick Power here. Thanks for that, lads. Quality. Now, I'd like you to just indulge me for a second. I'm writing a terrible book, right, following Nick's line of work here. It's called Slash Gordon, right? It's all about awkward encounters in a bathroom, right? And it just seemed to happen all the time. You always bump into somebody and have an awkward conversation. You've got to say something. You just can't stand in silence. But we've had some great answers recently. Sir Paul McCartney talking about veganism with Gordon Ramsay in a very sweary way over the urinal, believe it or not. Noel Gallagher told us recently as well that he bumped into Brian Ferry, and he claims he walked away whistling Jealous Guy. None of us are having that, right? He's made that up after the event. Now, boys, would you indulge me for the book, please, and tell us about your Slash Gordon?
I don't know whether there was no words. It was more unspoken. But remember Mike Newell, who used to play for Everton?
Of course I do, yeah. Centre-forward, then a manager.
We were playing a charity thing in Anfield.
Soccer 6.
Yeah. I went to go to the toilet in the dressing room. He was really serious about the game.
Really?
And I thought, you know, after it, he'll be... You know, that's just how he is in the game. And then he was showering... naked, but you know, like he was in Lethal Weapon, and he had like his arm up and slowly through the steam. He just stared me out.
Oh no.
Completely naked.
And you're naked as well?
I wasn't naked. No. I was going to the toilet. I should have.
You should have done, yeah.
We didn't run enough to warrant a shower.
No, I wasn't even sweating really. And it was just more what was unsaid between us.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it can never be unseen.
It's horrific.
Yeah, it was.
Mike Newell was quite an imposing figure as well.
He was imposing.
Was he?
Definitely imposing.
He cast a shadow, James, didn't he? Lads, thanks very much for coming in. You know, really excited about this album. I think it's brilliant, and it's great to see that you're still bringing out phenomenal albums, you know, after 22 years. It's great.
Thanks a lot, man.
So superb stuff, lads. Thanks for doing the session.
Nice one.
And we're going to finish off with Dreaming of You again. I want to play La Bamba or a bit of Del Shannon, something like that. Yeah. That's what we could do. There's a B-side in that somewhere if we still did them. Thanks very much to the choral, James Skelly, nice, Nick Power, and a brilliant session as well. This is recorded as well here at Radio X in the Session Studio. Dreaming of You on Radio X.
Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Joe Thomas, star of The Festivals, with me. All right, Joe?
Hi, Gordon. How's it going?
I always ask actors when they come in, or musicians, about their worst gigs. You know, never mind all the great moments in your life. But you had a really testing thing to do in this movie, where you had to take the stage.
I did,
in front of, I don't know, 30,000 people, something like that?
Yeah.
I think to get involved.
It was at Leeds Festival, and I needed to, basically, we needed to get this shot of the crowd, and the producer was basically like, we need to get the shot of the crowd, so basically, can you go and ask them to if they do this shot? And it was, yeah, I mean, I think it was genuinely, you know, it was a mass, I think it was actually 60,000 people. It was vast. It was, wow. And I basically played Simon Says. It's amazing that Simon Said. You know the game Simon Said? It's just an anecdotal game where you they'd know how to do anything.
That's a nerve-wracking gig, though, isn't it?
It was so scary. Yeah. I mean, I was terrified. But luckily, they were all just quite warmly chanting boner at me. So it was fine.
Did you have any Dutch courage for the occasion?
I know. I was honestly like, can I have something? Yeah. And no, there was nothing. I was really scared. I didn't know what was going to happen, but it was great. Yeah.
Would you give us an alternative worst gig? You know, what's the worst audition you've had, where you've had to do something that just made you want to curl into a little ball and hide?
I did an audition for McDonald's once, where it was just a load of people dancing, and it was like four of us in a row, and it was something to do with, like, the gig was like they're in a living room, and they just start kind of, hey, they sort of like dancing with the stuff in the living room. And I don't know, I suppose it was a bit like that Morecambe and Wise thing where they're making breakfast or something. Yeah. But it was just me and these three other lads, and they were, and the director was just kept on going, okay, good, and now just go more mental. Okay. And I was looking around me at the guys who were like, and they were going more mental. I was like, oh god. And it was basically just it was just a kind of competition about who could look the most. I mean, it was abject stuff. And then auditions are terrible. It's honestly like there isn't a more efficient way of bringing down your self-esteem. It's like, so what, self-esteem too high, do an audition, it'll be right down, it'll be down straight away. That was a bad one.
Even with a thick skin like Joe Thomas.
Oh my god, yeah, honestly, I thought I'd be fine. I thought I'd be all right, and no, that one broke me a little bit.
Well, Joe, it's lovely to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And best of luck with the movie. The festival is out today. It looks like a right good laugh.
It's great, honestly, it's so funny. Please go and see it. You'll relate if you've been to a festival.
Excellent stuff. Joe Thomas, he's in the festival right now. Go and have a look at that. Thanks for coming in.
Cheers, Gordon.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I know it's August because Alex James, cheese magnate, festival promoter, and Blur legend is sitting in front of me. Hi, Alex.
Hello, Gordon. Cheers.
Oh, love seeing you,
cheers.
Alex.
Love seeing you, darling. Yeah. Cheers. Literally, straight off to this, I'm hot footing it back to the farm,
yes,
where there's approximately 2,000 roadies assembling stages and restaurants and a zoo.
A zoo? What kind of boss are you, Alex? Are you a kind of friend of the staff, or are you a tyrant?
This point, I'm a total tyrant, Sergeant
really?
Major. Yeah, well, I've got five kids, so I'm a bit of a Sergeant Major anyway.
There's some new stuff this year on site, because the big festival's coming, bank holiday weekend. Is it the treehouse stage?
Well, you never know what's going to work until you try it. Right. So, actually, that was last year. We just had a little bit of tree climbing. So, and then people, yes, we like the tree climbing. So, we've sort of run with that. And we have got the most stonkingest lineup ever, really. I think we've got more Michelin stars than London this year. Raymond Blanc, Pierre Kaufman, Marco Pierre White on the food stage. I mean, there's very few chefs who haven't been touched by one of those three guys.
What do you get more of a buzz about? Booking a band, booking a chef, or booking one of the kids' entertainers? Because it makes you a hero in the eyes of your children.
Well, the first thing we do every year, which is always a big sigh of relief, is book the Cuban Brothers and book Justin Fletcher.
Yes.
And we know we've got a party then, and we're safe. And so really, from then on, it's plain sailing. I'm absolutely delighted that Marco's heading up the chef lineup this year, because I've been working with him a bit over the last year or two. We did some telly together, and I've known him for ages, actually, but we kind of reconnected, and he's put my cheese on the menu in all his restaurants. Yeah. But I've just sort of like, I've just watching him at work. You know, he was the youngest person ever to get three Michelin stars, and the first Brit ever to get three Michelin stars. It all kind of starts with him.
For anybody who hasn't been to the big festival, how does it work with the chefs? You know, what do you go and see? What do you watch them do?
The cookery stage, there's big video screens up. You get thousands of people cheering as Jamie Oliver tosses a pancake. But if you wanted proof that the chefs are the new rock stars, it's there at the festival. People just, I think it's just there is that kind of theatre of cookery, actually, and because they're all used to being on telly and stuff, the big name chef, you know, they can really make a show of it. So some people come along because they want to learn something, and some people come along because they want to forget about everything, and that's when they come to the Cheese Hub.
We're into year seven, right?
Year seven.
Last year was really big.
This year, we're still at the same capacity, but I think the lineup is even more spectacular. But I think it's, you know, people who are coming to see Blur back in 1998 at Reading and, you know, going bonkers. now, they've probably got a couple of kids, still want to jump up and down to Basement Jackson, Professor Green and Paloma Faith, but kind of want a nice lobster bun and nice toilets.
Exactly that. Yeah, and you provide all of that.
It's really just filling the farm up with all the things I love the most.
So in 1998, Alex, you'd have been rehearsing, right? Getting yourself ready for a massive...
I've never been a big one for rehearsing, really.
Yeah, I thought that might have been the case, Alex. But for your Cheese Hub, is there any preparation involved? Do you have to get yourself organised and put a set together? What do you have to do for
this? So this is a prime example of you never quite know what's going to work. The Cheese Hub is my party within the party. I've written some songs this year to play in there.
Seriously?
Totally. I haven't written any music for ages, but it's actually because I didn't want to go off on tour with the band. I don't have to go off on tour. I've got everyone coming to my house. Yeah. So I've written all these stupid songs about cheese, which drunk people would go absolutely nuts for, I promise you. But I just get completely obsessed with whether it's going to rain or not. Mm-hmm. And I might realise there's 750 festivals up and down the UK every summer. It must be raining at about a third of them. But there's all these artists doing the festival. No one's got a song to sing if it's absolutely hammering it down. Yeah, yeah. So I've written a kind of crowd, like a Vindaloo style kind of crowd sing along if it's raining.
I should say to you, Alex, did the World Cup do you well in royalties with
my Vindaloo? Word, I couldn't believe it. So yeah, a song that Keith Allen and I wrote in 15 minutes in the bogs at Groucho's like 20 years ago.
It doesn't matter if you make any money on the festival, because that's the royalties are coming.
After the Sweden game, I looked, my kids were looking at iTunes. They're like, daddy, look, it's number four, it's gone up to number three. It's literally something I'm not used to doing, looking at my songs on iTunes. You know, it's been a while. Yeah. But literally, while I was looking at it, it went from four to three.
Amazing. Tell you what, though, I'm going to choose a Blur song, if you don't mind.
Brilliant.
Could you tell me, this is my favourite Blur song is Sing, right?
Is it really?
I think it was on the Trainspotting soundtrack, pretty sure it was.
It was used on the Trainspotting soundtrack, which made I remember the American record company, they didn't like that song, they left it off the first album.
It was on the
American pressings. Yeah. it was a good turn out to be a good sign, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. So if you don't mind, Alex, I'm going to play Sing by Blur.
Love to hear it.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Catfish and the Bottlemen, and that is Seven on Radio X. You're listening to the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. I wonder one day if Van McCann will have a piece of his memorabilia sold for hundreds of thousands of pounds. I'm a wee bit interested in it. I say a wee bit. I'm completely obsessed with music memorabilia. If I could, and I had the dough, I would invest a lot in signed guitars, because apparently they never lose money. And wouldn't it be brilliant if you could just pluck it off the wall and play an amazing song at some point. Anyway, last week I was talking about the Beatles. George Harrison's Maytone guitar sold for something, or it was going for something like £380,000, $500,000. And there's more Beatles memorabilia up for grabs this week. So if you've got a few quid lying around and you fancy a new car or an old car or a very famous used car, I've got news for you, right? So cars formerly owned by Macca, Paul McCartney and John Lennon are going to be auctioned off in America. So you could get your hands on Paul McCartney's 1965 Mini Cooper S DeVille or John Lennon's 1979 Mercedes E300 Estate, which isn't the car I thought John Lennon would drive. Looks a little bit like the Ghostbusters car, if you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's being auctioned by a company called Auburn Auction, if you want to look them up, on the 1st of September. Now, McCartney's Mini, it was one of four that were ordered, so it's got real significance, this, by their manager, Brian Epstein, in 1965. So they all got one, McCartney got one, and that's the one that's going up for sale. And to give you an idea of the kind of dough that Paul McCartney's cars have fetched, in 2017, his old Aston Martin went for £1.3 million. How about that? £1.3 million. And I'm going to tell you something now that might make Paul Weller feel quite bad. I once very nearly bought his old Mini for £5,000. Do you think that makes him feel quite bad? His car's only worth £5,000 and Macca's was worth £1.3 million. How about that? Ringo Starr as well. In 1966, he had a Mini Cooper. It was an S Radford and it was snapped up for £102,000. Who by? Jerry Ginger Spice Halliwell. Sure, he was thrilled about that old Ringo. Anyway, go and spend that money if you've got it on some old used cars with some very famous previous owners. Here's Maka from Egypt Station, the new one. Come on to me.
I saw you flash. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Alex James is here. It means it's August. It means the big festival's coming on the bank holiday weekend. I can tell by the look in his eye that he's very close to losing his mind.
I think, you know, when Blur got back together and played South America a few years back, that was good.
Yeah.
But this, it is, I promise you, it is the most ridiculous, exciting, exhilarating, stupid thing I've ever done. Running a festival at home. It's like getting married on Friday, and then you have to get up and get married again on Saturday, and then you have to do it again on Sunday. It's just, you know, a show is fine, it's 2 hours, and then you go off and, you know, and sleep till the next one. But this is like a 3-day Grand National. So there's like a handful of camping tickets. The camping always sells out, I think, 9,000 tents or something, but there's a handful of camping tickets left. But it's really easy to day trip from London. I think that's the only reason we thought we'd be able to live there. There's like a train station at the bottom of the top field.
It's amazing, you go from Paddington, don't you?
Yeah, an hour and a half. So, and like under 12s are free, and so it's a good day trip, but come for the weekend, it's going to be epic.
And the kids' stuff as well, you've got to mention that, haven't you? Because you've got Justin Fletcher, who is the Maradona
like Coldplay for the toddler market. He speaks to them in a language he's like big star.
The Gruffalo.
We got Peppa Pig, My Little Pony, Paddington, and that's just the peas.
I just want to come for the tree climbing. Just the tree climbing. I want to come for that. Now, Alex, I'd like to ask you about something while you're here.
Yes.
We had your erstwhile bandmate, Damon Albarn.
God bless him.
Not that long ago. He loves coming in and doing promo, doesn't he?
I've been in a few awkward radio studio environments with my dear friend. God bless him. How was he?
He was brilliant. He was excellent. He got into it, as he always does when he does these things.
I was doing a live radio interview in the biggest, the really big deal in Germany, like the big live radio station, and the DJ asked him a question and I looked round and he was actually asleep.
Well, I asked him a question about his worst gig, right? I ask all the bands that come in about the worst gig. I think it was from 1992 where
there were some dark days, but
involved him being naked on stage. What's your worst gig, Alex?
There was one gig when we started. And Dave's, all right, we're Blur, all right, and we kick in, and my bass is a semitone out. It's just completely wrong. So I'm like, oh, and Dave's like, stop. And we start again, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I go in, and it's still wrong. I'm like, that's what note it. That's my roadie had tuned. The roadie had tuned the bass a semitone out. The definition of a disaster musically is playing exactly in time, exactly a semitone out of tune. So we had to stop again, but it took a while to work. So we kind of lost all the momentum. I think once you've been through that, you can go through anything.
Yeah, really. It's character building. Are there any gigs that you don't remember at all? I knew the answer to this question before I asked it.
In the early days, I think we did embrace kind of getting very drunk before we went on. Yeah. But in fact, Graham and I both used to pour a whole bottle of red wine over ourselves. It was a kind of ancient ritual that cider producers do that with their cider. They pour it on the tree.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, but we did rule that out. We had the 2-drink rule after a particularly bad gig with Suede at the Town and Country Club in about 1993.
What's the festival ritual for you now? How do you prepare for the big festival?
Well, I just do a lot of pacing and I eat a lot of frazzles.
It's the perfect crisp, the perfect accompaniment for that kind of stress and pressure. Alex, best of luck with the big festival.
Lovely seeing you
next weekend.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
That was the Evening Show podcast. If you're feeling generous, please leave a coral-shaped review in the form of full-blown enthusiasm and effervescence, Joe.
5 stars. Cheers.
It's a real pleasure having your company. Hope you enjoyed that. We will be back with another edition very soon. Thank you very much. See you later.